This morning, if you've brought your Bible in, let's flip that open to Matthew chapter 16. It's the sound of heavenly music with pages turning. Yes. Matthew 16, here we go. Hey, I want to look at a story. We all have a story and a journey that we could say we look back at our history and we go, wow, there was some ups and downs in my life. And then we are encouraged and grow in our faith as we see that. And so I want to show you somebody's story here in the Bible that we go, and we can read about, which is super helpful. We go, that was a tough point. That was a good point. It seems like he was going in the right direction. And then that was a very, and we see that in life, that just kind of that flow of, you know, good things happening and then challenging things happening. So let's pick up the story here. It's about a guy named Peter, and here in the New Testament, in chapter 16, verse 15, it says this. As Jesus is asking the people, like, who do people say that I am? Who do people say that Jesus Christ is? In verse 15, but what about you? He's asking the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied this, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. So I think at this point, when we look at Peter's life, like, this is a good thing. Like, Jesus Christ just said, you are hearing from heaven. Like, wow, that seems like a spiritual guy. Like, that seems like he's maybe not on a spiritual high, but he's like, you know, he's the elite of disciples at this point, right? He's the only guy that kind of pipes up usually. He likes to say things. But he says something so positive. And Jesus even affirms what he just said. You know, isn't that just a good thing? You're thinking, you know, in life, when we go around and we hit a home run with something, whether it's like we prayed for somebody or we felt like we were generous or we felt like, I think God orchestrated that conversation. It was this divine appointment and I responded well to it. Sometimes God gives us divine appointments and we totally miss it, right? We go home, we're like, oh, I was an idiot. I totally missed that one. And there's times we go home and we're like, I'm going to tell people how good I did. That was just so good. And so Peter here, it was a good thing. Jesus calls Peter again, blessed for knowing the truth. In our lives, when we make a mistake, often we beat ourselves up and often there's a season or a time delay until we get back on track. Kind of just like, and the things happen and whatever busyness, and it takes us a while to get back, to get focused again. And if we were to just pick up a scripture here about, so how to get back on track. So again, Peter did a great job here. We're going to show you some other stories of his life where he didn't get back on track very quickly. But Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, when he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. It's a very basic scripture. I think lots of us have t-shirts that might say something like that. But it says daily. And so often we forget about that part. We say, oh, I need to take up my cross and just, you know, and we get in this routine and this habit of things. But it says daily so that when we fall, not if, but when, then we start again, fresh the next day. Start again right now, even today. I don't know what you're facing or what you've done, but start today. Say, it's a new day. It's brand new right now. I'm going to pick it up right now. Because God doesn't keep record of that. You know, when you wake up tomorrow and if you've done something wrong, God's not like, oh, you bonehead. You know, you totally messed that one up. God's like, it's brand new right now. Let's start today fresh. Because all that was yesterday. God doesn't even have a yesterday. Anyway, he doesn't go to sleep. But he doesn't see it like that. And how do we see it? And I love this part where it says, then he said to them all, if anyone, the message is for everybody. There's no requirements either, right? There's not a list, you know. Let's slip in the Ten Commandments right there real quick because we're not sure who it's for. This message is for everyone and anybody. Just follow me daily, follow me each and every day. Yesterday's gone, the old is gone. Even this morning is already in the past. Otherwise, like Peter, if we don't do those things, if we don't pick up our cross daily, if we don't start again, hit the reset button, these are the kind of things that could happen. Like Peter, we could end up falling away. It says here, just in the very next verse in Luke 9:24, For whoever wants to save his life, you need to end up losing it. And whoever loses his life for me will save it. Again, we see the very first thing. For whoever wants this free gift, just come to me. Give your life up and receive me. In verse 25 again, it says the invitation here. But what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose and forfeit himself? Isn't that just the truth of Scripture? That Peter, and just, you know, we see him doing the right thing, and then in the next breath, he's doing the wrong thing. But Jesus is saying, just come to me, give it all to me, and pick up your cross every single day. Because the reality is, no one's immune to sin. But when you get Jesus in your heart, oh, I got the Holy Spirit now. Oh, I'm like Peter, I'm just hitting home runs on everything. You're bound to sin. Isn't that terrible to say? I came to church to get saved. I came to church to get healed. I came to church to get clean. And then we blow it. And then we feel like we've let God down in a way. But God never required that out of you. Your standard's way out of proportion. It's not supposed to be like that. When you blow it, it's an opportunity to come back to Christ. It's an opportunity to get right with Christ, to lay yourself down, because you will be tempted. And I hate to say this, and I'll be guilty. I'll put myself under the bus, as always. That's a good place to start. I will deny Christ at some point. I will deny his word at some point. That's terrible, I know. But I've done it. And I know I feel terrible for doing it, but I know that there's a God in heaven that forgives me, and he loves me. He doesn't throw me under the bus. He doesn't say, get on the bus or I'm going to run you over. No, he says, get on the bus. We're going places. And don't get off the bus. And when you do, don't worry. I got a free ticket. You can get on the bus again. It doesn't cost you anything. I've taken it all. I've paid it all. Again, take heart that Jesus has done it all for us. So let's listen to what we heard Peter respond as Jesus asked the question that, you know, you're the Son of God. And Jesus says, you're hearing from heaven. This is brilliant. And Peter, like some of us might do, might go, I am good. And this is some of the things that he says about himself. When we see the word I in the Bible, that's a red flag. You know, we start talking about ourselves, me, look what I did. You know, it's a red flag. Look what Christ did. But here, Peter goes off to say this in Matthew 26, verse 33. It says, Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I won't. I never will. That is a bold statement. If all these other people, all these other jokers and clowns and wannabes fall away, I know where I stand. I know I'm on a solid rock. I'm Peter. And Jesus wants to make sure that before he leaves the earth, that he's going to help Peter understand his misinterpretation or take him off his high horse, all those kind of things. And Jesus is about to call him out on his false understanding. Again, never mind about everybody else, but Peter, personally, he wants him to understand personally what it means. And so we pick this story up in John chapter 13. And here's Peter's response again to some questions as they're talking. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, as Jesus was referring to him going away, he had to leave. It would be better if he left. Where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow. But you will follow later. And Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? The word right here, why can't I? In the very next sentence, I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, as we know, this common Sunday school response, you'll really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And so Jesus isn't trying to be negative to Peter, but he's trying to open his eyes to reality. That when you say things like, I'll never, and honestly, I'm as foolish as Peter. I did the same thing. I remember I do my devotions like every day. Every morning I spend time with the Lord, and when I go on vacation, I don't know why, it's like the hardest thing. Man, because I sleep in, I'm just being lazy, I'm eating food, I'm eating food at midnight, I'm just having a wonderful time. And then the day goes by, I'm like, oh man, I didn't get my devotion in. And I just repented. I said, Lord, I will never miss another day of devotion to my life. And I could see God going, you know, reality check. You know, it's just not going to happen. And so I've gone through days where I miss out. And I used to honestly beat myself up. I would really be like, ah, you moron. You know, like you're a pastor. What's wrong with you? You can't even do your devotions every day. And I promise, I do, you know, 99.9% of the time. Just want to clarify that just in case you're not like, you know, pastors, I don't know what he's doing anymore up there. And I would feel this. Now, maybe it was my own heavy spirit or my own judgmental way or maybe the way I was raised where I felt like, you know, if you didn't measure up, you did wrong. And I would seriously look at the Bible after a day I missed and I was like, I'm not sure if I want to go there right now because I know I need to ask for forgiveness. I know I need to say I'm sorry. Say you're sorry. Say you want to, you know, those aren't things that we'd like to do too often, right? You ever done that around your spouse or somebody you love and you totally blew it. You made the worst decision of your life. And you kind of have to go and you're like, I actually blew that one. I'm so sorry. Like, it's not first on our priority list. You're not waking up in the morning, oh, sweet, I'm going to own all the things I did wrong today, right? You're not thinking about that. You're thinking like, I got to avoid that conversation. I don't want to have that. And I just got to get busy, put my head down and just go, right? And so Peter here again, don't let that spirit of heaviness ever take root in your life. God just desperately wants to have relationship with you every single day, no matter what happens, no matter what you've done. He just is like, when we sit with Jesus, it's just like, it's just sweetness, sweetness all day long. So we see here, again, Peter calling himself up like, I'm the greatest guy around, and Jesus is saying, let's come back to reality. I know that you love me. But Jesus is asking here in a few verses about, prove it to me. Show me that you love me. Because the kind of love that he's referring to here is an action. Yes, I know that you love me. You know that you, I know that you love me, but do you love me in here? Prove it to me in your actions. Whoa, it's going to get good. So let's just quickly look at John chapter 18 where Peter denies Christ. I think it's important for us to just feel the weight of that. So in verse 18, or chapter 18, verse 17, as Jesus is being, you know, persecuted, as Jesus is being, you know, accused, and Peter's just kind of like outside watching this. And this is Peter again, the guy that says, I'll never fall away. Peter, the guy that's hearing from heaven. And he says this thing, are you not one of his disciples? The girl at the door asked Peter. And here's Peter. Peter replied, I am not. And so we know that story quite well. Verse 25, it goes on to say, as Simon Peter stood warming himself outside, you know, are you not one of his disciples? He denied it, saying, I am not. That's that second time that Jesus said he would do. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man who Peter cut off his ear, challenged him. You think he would know who this guy was? Didn't I see you on the olive grove? And again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, the rooster crowed. That was the third time he denied him. So Jesus, you know, there's a fulfillment of scripture there. We just read that when Peter is confronted with knowing Christ, again, the guy that hears from heaven, the guy that would never fall away, claims to never deny Christ, you know, does it three times. I wonder the weight of that, actually, as he said that. I wonder, we see somebody, another disciple, under the weight of the pressure of doing something wrong, actually goes off and kills himself. And we see the weight here of Peter going, man, I thought I was on cloud nine. I thought, you know, it was just brilliant. I was the greatest guy around. And all of a sudden, I'm down on my knees now. I just deny Christ. I'm very broken. I'm very emotional. And how am I going to respond to that? So after Peter gets this reality check, and I love it as Jesus, you know, goes to the cross and raises from the dead. And all of a sudden, he's having fellowship with his disciples. He wants to make sure Peter understands something. I'm sure in Peter's mind, he's feeling guilty. He's feeling like, ah, this isn't good. And so Jesus wants to just speak into his life like Jesus does so well. We all can attest to this conversation or this thought right here. When we're broken and down and beat up and feel guilty, oh, sweet Jesus comes in. We've read so many times in the scripture that there's this root of bitterness. And it's actually a tree, and the roots of this tree, if it gets close to water, become bitter. And so as the roots of all of our mistakes touch things, they become bitter. And it says in the scripture, so often the Old Testament says that when, you know, somebody would touch that with an, you know, a good fruit or a good tree, it would make the water sweet again. And so when we are bitter and sad and stuff, then Jesus comes in and makes it sweet again, because we can't do that on our own. And that's sweet Jesus that we get to meet with. So here in John chapter 21, we see Jesus, you know, he's just, I want to give you just one more instruction, Peter, before I go here. And so we'll read it together, verse 15, 16, 17, then we'll kind of break it down a little bit. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" And yes, Lord, he said, "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my lambs." And again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then take care of my sheep." And the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus was asking him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then to feed my sheep." You see the contrast there? You know, three is a good biblical thing, but he denied him three times, and then he speaks into his life three times. Just to kind of let him know what he's thinking about. Jesus only uses his name here in the first verse. You see that in verse 15? He says, Jesus said to Simon Peter, his original name is Simon, son of John. He says to him just one time, "I got your attention now, boy, and now I'm going to just call you your original name." And so I'm sure, you know, Peter's not like, "Oh, man, he's calling me by," you know. It's like, there's something going on here. I need to pay attention to that. You know, Jesus drops his name. You know, that name meant, it signified, you know, the rock. It signified strength. It signified stability. And God is saying, "I know that about you, and that's who you are, but do you love me?" Because your name and your title are important. But at the end of the day, all that doesn't mean anything if you don't love me. And he's questioning him on this thing right here. "Do you love me more than these?" Now, when I read that the first few times, you know, many years ago, I'm thinking, like, I'm assuming Jesus is maybe referring to then these other disciples or these other people. But it's actually not that. Jesus is referring to, "Do you love me more than the things that are like Simon Peter, that I'm the rock? Do you love me more than your fishing boat?" Because we know he goes back to fishing as soon as it gets tough. "Do you love me more than your career, than your calling, than your title, than your position, than your house, than your whatever you want to put under that, these things?" What are those things for you? What are those things that you would go, "God, if you took that away from me, I don't know how much I love you." And I've wrestled with that thought. Like, if God took my wife away, if that just happened to be in the cards, you know, I just wonder what would that look like? One of my kids, I have four kids. I love this job, don't hold me wrong with this, but you know, if things change, I might be okay with that. But what are those things for you that are like, if that was taken, your health, crikey, I've lost that a long time ago. Whatever it is, would you still love God? That's a tough pill to swallow. And Jesus is saying, "I want you, Peter, to understand that I've given you title, I've given you names, I've given you position, I want you to go bless people, but it's all because of our relationship that we have with one another. Because all of those things come and go. All of those things are seasons. You know, I don't know what your life looks like, the seasons of your life. You know, I had a really tough upbringing, you know, mom and dad and all these three different marriages, and all of a sudden I got into retail for 10 years and things seemed to be going well, and I got married and kids and that was all wonderful, and I became a pastor and all these great things, and I lost my health. You know, like, what is going on? I thought, if I follow Christ and I'm the pastor, I will never get sick in Jesus' name. You know, just repent of that or just rebuke that kind of stuff. And so I went through tough times. But then I look at my life, I think, and God was with me the whole time. And God still loves me, even in my struggles, even in my ups and downs. And so when we read that scripture, when it says, "Are you going to take care of my sheep? Are you going to take care of my lambs?" Like, that is a big calling. Like, that's a weight that I feel right now, all the time, every time I get up and do a devotion, preach, minister to you, because I don't want you to listen to me. It's useless. I'm not going to change your life. I want you to hear from heaven. I want you to fall in love with Jesus. I'm sharing Jesus' words with you, not my words. They're useless. They don't have any authority to change anything. But the power of God and the stories that are in here have the absolute authority to change your life. And so when we look at Peter's life, we can go, I can relate to that. I can feel that. I can understand that. And I can see that God was so faithful to Peter. Oh, Peter, you know. Oh, when Jesus is probably like, Peter, come on. Again, we got to have this conversation. But he doesn't even bat an eye. I want to make sure that he knows how much I care for him. I want to make sure that no matter how many times he denies me and denounces me and rebukes me and you know, throws me down the curb and I don't want to believe in, you know, I'm not even going to, because my life's in jeopardy if I claim that I know Jesus. Even in the midst of that. I mean, that's turning your back on God like nobody's business. I don't know how you feel like, oh, I've sinned a little bit, but I'm talking about, like, you've turned your back on God. You start, denying him to other people in front of other people. That's the difference. The huge difference, again, is just that, you know, we come here, we kind of know, like, yeah, I share these scriptures with you, like, I know those scriptures. I've heard them before. But do you know them? Do they move you to action? As God was calling to Peter, does it move you to action so that when you encounter difficult things, you're going to respond with the love of Christ because it's inside of you? So watch what happens after Peter, you know, again, going through like this high point in life. Peter's just on fire. All of a sudden he's denying Christ. And all of a sudden something changes in his life because he gets filled up with the Spirit of God. And then he's never, never the same. He will never deny Christ. Watch what we see here, Acts chapter 4. This is kind of paving the way for next Sunday because next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Holy Spirit Sunday, so I'm excited about that. I'm already excited about it. I really want to preach it to you, but we got to be careful we don't steal too much of the message. Acts chapter 4, verse 18, it says this. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. So after the day of Pentecost, Jesus was crucified. He rose again, and the disciples just started preaching Jesus. And the authorities are like, you got to stop this thing. We tried to kill Jesus. We tried to take the Bible and throw it in the trash. And when you try and do that, man, it just sets on fire. There's just a fire going on in people's hearts. And the authorities are, you know, not happy campers. But Peter and John replied this. Oh, you know, Peter and John, I don't know Jesus, you know. You know, oh, you know, watch what he says here. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you, you clowns, rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard personally, because it's a personal testimony that changed their lives. There's a different authority in Peter now. There's a difference in him because he's got the power of God living inside of him. Isn't that just a great thought? You know, it's like bang, 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 you know. And our lives are similar to that sometimes. I wish it was all just, you know, nice sailing. When you go out fishing, I wish it was just always like glass. Fish just seem to bite more when there's no waves around. But life is difficult sometimes. And sometimes you're out there fishing. There's no fish biting. You got to move. You know, you got to go somewhere else. But they were speaking about something that was personal. And for you and I, this is how we relate to this. It was personal because I show you and I tell you stories about what God's done. There they are. We share stories and testimonies about each other. But have you had a story? Do you have a testimony like Peter had? Peter had seen and heard with his own eyes personally. He said, I cannot deny Christ. And that's why we send young people down to youth conventions. That's why we send young people to camps. That's why we send them, I don't know, maybe Sunday school is not a great example because we want them in the service too, but you know, we send them to these missions trips because we want them to have an encounter with Christ that they can never deny. They'll never be able to walk away from. If all they're going to know is about this, you know, this is powerful. I love you, but you know what I'm saying? If it's not real, if you haven't experienced it yourself, you will deny it. At some point, you'll be challenged by it. When God says, you know, step up to the plate, you'll be like, I don't know, God, because you haven't really met with him. You haven't really experienced him. But when you do, just like Peter, he could not, you know, you're in front of the authorities. You're arrested. You know, you listen, you be quiet. I'm going to bust your head open. And he's just like, you be quiet. I serve Jesus. I'm going to listen to you. You do whatever you want to me. Like, that's powerful, isn't it? I had a fun little story happen this past week here with a good friend of ours, Aaron. So good, you know, good to have you back. Glad you're on the worship this morning. Aaron and I and Chris, we were headed out to the camp, and we'll be really careful as always because we're online and we don't want people to know who we're talking about. We were going to this business, and had to drop something off. And so we knock on the door and they say, okay, go around back, drop it off. So we go around the back. All of a sudden, this young kid is like, what are you doing here? You idiot, you shouldn't be back here. I was like, holy smokes, man. And I had no idea what to do. I thought, the old unsaved Pastor Rob would grab that little kid by the neck and start punching him in the face. You know, you listen here, boy, talk to me like that. I know the owner. You smarten up. And then I thought, Aaron's in the vehicle as a pastor. Probably shouldn't do that. That won't look so good, right? You know. Never went through my mind. But anyways, it was totally the Lord. I just kind of leaned over and said, hi, my name's Rob. Stuck up my hand. He just shook it. Hi. And I just totally diffused the whole thing. It was super hilarious, right? He's just ready to go. And all of a sudden, he's like, hi. I really wanted to say to him, yeah, the owner, he sent me back here. And what was your name again? Because I'm going to have a little chat with the owner about, you. And I thought, I shouldn't do that, but I really wanted to. It's going to be fun, but we'll leave that one alone. But in that moment, and please, this is not me. You know me. I always share these stories with you. Like, that's what God does, though. He takes a really intense situation and diffuses it through his love for people. Because obviously there was something going on in that poor young kid's life. He was just hot to trot, whatever was going on. He was angry. He was frustrated. I don't know what was happening for him. But if I just add to his anger, it's not going to be helpful. But I just, really simple. I didn't even preach to the kid. I just thought, that's just an analogy. That's just an example of that. I want to finish with this kind of thought here. Because when we interact with the world, it's great to be here together. Simple. It's easy to be loving and compassionate right here. You guys are easy to love. It's easy to love one another. But when we go out in the real world and we see real situations, sometimes we're challenged by that. On our way back from that camp experience, I thought, life just happens. I'm like, this is going to preach. This is great stuff, We went out to a restaurant and we're just there having a nice meal. And when some people get really loud and vocal, and all of a sudden there's almost like a fist fight, and they're swearing, and you're just trying to eat my meal over here, right? And like, it's just awkward. Do I say something? Do I just ignore it? Do I look? Do I look the other way? It just is a really challenging situation that we face. And this person was under not the fruits of the Spirit. They're under the spirit of some other substance. We'll just say it like that. And there was just this really awkward scene, and the police had to show up, and it seems like their baggage was on the outside, and it's easy to see. But I wonder, I challenge myself with this thought, is like, well, do I carry my baggage around in a nice, new wallet or a nice Gucci bag? I got junk and I got stuff, but I can control and handle and make myself okay with all that. My stuff's not on the outside. Where some people sometimes don't have the ability or the understanding or the upbringing to say, actually, I have to keep that hidden. I have to keep that quiet. And some people just live it on the outside. And there's no difference, though. That's the problem that I find with society sometimes. We say, just act normal, be at peace with people, just hold all your stuff in, and just shh, be quiet. And then for those that can't, they don't have the ability to do that, we say, that's gross, that's dirty, that's wrong. They're not super well. But I take that to heart. Like, how am I doing? What's actually going on inside my thoughts as I face difficulties? Do I trust God fully? Do I completely give it to him? And Jesus said that to Peter again in verse 15. When they had finished eating, this nice intimate fellowship around a meal, everything's going good. He said to Simon Peter, do you truly love me more than these? And the list is just endless. Do you truly love me more than anything else? Can you trust me with that? And then again, totally paving the way for next Sunday, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we see Peter's life again on a high, on a low. We see him on a high, just saying, I'm not going to repent of Jesus ever again. Peter is speaking to a crowd in verse 38. Peter replied, you've got to repent. You've got to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. There's three things that happen there. The order's not important, but that you understand how important those three things are. That you repent of your sins. You'd say, God, I've got stuff and I need to ask for your forgiveness. That you get baptized, whether it's a water baptism, and Len will speak about that with the announcements. We're going to do it again this summer as always. Or it's a spirit baptism. You get baptized with the Holy Spirit to help you with your day-to-day life. And when you do that, you receive a free gift. You get the Holy Spirit to live. Because God's in heaven, Jesus is at his right hand, and God, Holy Spirit, wants to live and dwell inside of you. I really want to pray with you this morning. So let's just close our eyes and bow our heads. And if you resonate with any part of this, then just kind of join in and just be in agreement with this idea of repentance. Some of us are here this morning that haven't repented in a while. You know, you love God in your head, you know him, you love church, and you try and do the right things, but you have not repented of the acts that are sinful. Sinful acts that you want to be cleansed from, that you want to walk daily with Christ. And so I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you would give that to him. You would just come to the cross. You envision yourself right now coming to the cross and just putting that down at the foot of the cross and saying, God, I just repent of all of that. I want to be free from that. I can't do that on my own. Only you can do it. Only the blood of Christ can do that for me. So thank you, Jesus, that I can just give you all my burdens and that you lift me up and you love me and you care for me so much. And Father, this morning, if there's anyone here that hasn't been water baptized, I pray that they would take that step, that they would say, yes, Pastor, I need to get water baptized. And we would do that this summer with them. If there's anyone here this morning that as we think about the Holy Spirit, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, I pray that people would be open to that this morning. Father, that they would receive, they say, God, I love you, I know you, but I receive this free gift that you gave to me. You said it would be better if Jesus checked out so that Holy Spirit could check in. And so would you check into my heart, Holy Spirit? I give you my life. I surrender it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.